is a very ancient festival which goes back many yugas before. Even in the Satya Yuga, which is millions of years ago, Rati Yatra was being performed. So in this way, we can appreciate that what happened here today in Newcastle is not an ordinary activity. Srila Prabhupada, as a child, was very eager to have Radhika. He told his father that he wanted to perform Radhika, but his father didn't know what to do. He said, "I don't have a Rath cart." So the father and son were walking in the streets, and while they were walking in the streets, someone overheard the discussion between father and son and heard how the child said, "I want a Rath cart." And then father said, "What can I do? I don't have." And then that person said, "But I have one." And in this way, Prabhupada got a small Radhiyatra cart. And then it was organized. Everything was there. Prabhupada personally took charge. Abai was his name at that time. Abai took charge of everything. He arranged that there was instruments for kirtan. He arranged that there was some prasada. He made all the arrangements. And then the festival was going on, and all the neighborhood children were partaking in the Radhiyatra. And, the people in the neighborhood, they said to the father of Abhay, Gaur Mahan, "Oh, you are having a Radhiyatra. Why did you not invite us?" And he said, "Oh, it's only children playing." He said, "No, this is not children playing. This is a real Radhiyatra. Lord Jagannath is here." So, Prabhupada's childhood Radhiyatra in his later years grew into a worldwide Radhiyatra, which is now today been celebrated in Newcastle. And we are very happy. We are seeing how this ancient festival has been observed again and again on the east coast of India in the city of Jagannath Puri. But we also remember 500 years ago. 500 years ago, that Radhiyatra was different. Because 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. People, the general populace, did not know who he was. But when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were amazed. Because never had they seen anyone who was dancing in such ecstasy, who was just so filled with love for Lord Jagannath. Never before had anyone seen such love in any devotee of the Lord. And they all said, "This Chaitanya is a most extraordinary devotee." Some who were fortunate could understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was more than a devotee. but actually that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had appeared in the form of a devotee. So it was at that time that kirtan, that praying sankirtan, became part of Rati Yaksha. Prior to that, something was there, certainly glorification of the Lord was there, instruments were there, but not that kind of kirtan, which was filled with transcendental love, as it was 500 years ago. And it is that spirit of that miraculous Rati Yaksha that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed 500 years ago, that is really the inspiration of our Rati Yaksha. That was the inspiration of Prabhupada's Rati Yaksha. And now, our Rati Yaksha, Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the Universe, is going through the streets while the devotees are absorbed in chanting and dancing, all inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is described in the Shastra as the Yuga Dharma. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiya Nareta. The activity that can offer relief to the people of this age. The age is demanding. The age doesn't give you much time. In this age, everyone has to work very hard just to pay the bills. And now the boss wants overtime without pay. So what to say? The world is not so simple to live in this modern days. But Rati Yaksha is bringing relief. Anyone who's just seeing the form of Lord Jagannath, anyone like that is actually beginning his spiritual life and is delivered from birth and death. Anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord will obtain love for Krishna, sooner or later. So indeed, it is an amazing transcendental occasion where all of us, somehow or other, we were part of it. How it happened, I don't know. How I became part of all these things, what can I say? It came unexpected. But it began somewhere when I was a young man. My father was a businessman who never had any time, and I remember from my childhood days that my mother had mystic power. She was extremely powerful, and she would every day announce and say, "Be quiet, your father will come home in a few minutes and he has a headache." And then he would come, and indeed, he had a headache. And I thought, how did she know? No cell phones in those days. Mystic power, absolutely. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, my father had a headache every day. As the years went by, the family decided that I was supposed to be his successor, and that I was supposed to take over. So I was thinking about that as a young boy. I was thinking, well, if I have to take over the business of my father, then I will get the headache. So I was not so convinced. I had my doubts, to be honest. So even at an early age, I was thinking, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. And when it became more and more serious as the years moved on, I decided, but what for? What for? What for? Why do we have to work so much to get so much money? And then that we can borrow more money from the bank so that we can get a bigger and bigger house. I thought, isn't the house that we have good enough? No. Somehow or other, my father always wanted a bigger house. Yeah. We had a nice house. Our family had 3 children, and each of the children had their own room. And there was even an extra room for guests. So in my mind, it was big enough. But my father somehow or other wanted a bigger house. And I couldn't understand. I was about 12, and I was thinking, why does he want a bigger house? Our house is nice. What is wrong with it? But he wanted a bigger house. So all that created so much headache in his life, and actually in our life, in the family's life. And from that something was born in me. From that experience, something was born, a sense that, but what is the point? What is the point of working so hard for having so much facility? And my father continued. And he did work very hard. And he did borrow money from the bank. And he did buy a bigger house. But at that time, I was kind of 2 out of the 3 children, myself and my sister, we moved out of the house. So then, funny enough, as they got the big house, they had even less people living in it than before. So then what happened was, in the big house, the dog got its own room. There was a dressing room. There was a study room. Because what to do with all the rooms in that big house? So from that, at an early age, I developed a sense that, why would I not just live simply? Why do I need so much? And I realized that basically some shelter we need, something to eat I need, something I desire, and that I will get. But why so much? Why so much? So in this way, at one point, my father was also in his free time a musician. He was a singer. And I inherited that from him. I played guitar and I sang. So one day I sang him a song. And the song was, "Going away is a part of my life. The life I've got to live. I've got to be the one I am. I've got something to give." So after singing that song for my father, I left home. "Hey, Tara, you want to come here on the stage? Yeah? You have a fancy dress today. Yeah? Show everybody. Yeah?" Anyway, so I sang the song for my father, who didn't like the song. Somehow I thought it was a real good song, you know, myself. Going away is a part of my life, the life I've got to live. But he didn't like it. And then he said, "If you go, I won't give you a cent." And I said, "That's all right. I will manage." And that's what came to pass. So he didn't give me anything. But I managed, as you can see. Somehow or other, And I wanted something more than just materialism. So I traveled. First I followed the sun. Because I'm from a country which is it's a little bit like Cape Town. It always rains. Actually, we have 300 days of rain in my country, so that's quite a bit. So I decided that I would follow the sun and go south. This is Europe. It's warmer in the south. So, and then I met young people that had been in India. And they were different. They were different. They were speaking about India, and they said, this land is amazing. They said, when you go to the river Ganges, there are temples everywhere, and everyone is into spiritual life. You must see it. So I decided, yes, I must see it. So somehow or other, I managed to travel overland. It wasn't easy, because you had to travel over, the first part in Europe was kind of easy. But then you came into Turkey, and that's the end of Europe. There's the Bosporus, and then you go over the Bosporus and you get into Asia. And then that's in Istanbul. And it still looks a little modern. But then you drive a few hundred kilometers and you come to a place called Ankara, and there are no more roads, dirt roads, and they start to have the same trucks like in India, these small trucks. They come there, and then many mountains. Mountains also with gravel roads, and then dry riverbeds, and then over dangerous roads where there are decoys at night that attack the people, and sometimes they cut heads and leave them on the bonnet of their car. And we drove through all these places. And then I came to Iran. Iran was a very rigid Muslim country, where the ladies were fully covered in burqas, and it was, people were not so friendly to foreigners. So we didn't stay very long. But then the next place was Afghanistan. Afghanistan was hippies' paradise. Many young people were there, and they were trying out the local varieties of drugs, actually. But I came from the Netherlands, and there was too much of that. So I didn't come for that. So I had no interest. And I went on, and I came to India. And when I came to India, at that time, there was a lot of tension between India and Pakistan. So I came overland to Pakistan, and they wouldn't let anybody, no vehicles into India, so we had to walk. There were in Pakistan coolies with blue kurtas, they were carrying head loads, and in India coolies with red kurtas were taking over the loads, carried across the border. So when I walked into India, there was a lane with palm trees on the side, and it looked quite nice. The Pakistan border was not very clean, but the Indian border looked very nice. And then I came there and walked for some while. And then there was a government officer in uniform sitting behind a desk under a tree. And he had a very big mustache, like this. Huge, I think, had 90 control pins. And he had a big turban also. So he stopped me at the Amritsar border, and he said, so, why have you come to India? And I said, well, I heard that India is a very spiritual country. He said, oh, very good, very good, very good. Then you will go to
said, yes, yes, I will go to Benares. And he said, yes, you will definitely go to Benares because I'm buying you the ticket to go there. Meet me tonight at 6 o'clock on the railway station and I will buy you the ticket. So he did it. And, you know, what country is that? A country where you come into the country and the customs officer is buying you a ticket on the train. So I was really impressed by India. It's such a country. Then I was on that train. And the train was very full. In the train, many, many people were there. And people were sitting in the luggage rack on top. So one man, Sikh in blue dress, he was sitting there and he was chanting the entire way, Ram, 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 Ram. 1 hour went by, Ram, 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 Ram. 2 hours went by, Ram, 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 Ram. 3 hours went by, Ram, 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 Ram. He's looking like, this is amazing. I said, I've never in my life ever seen anything like this. Ram, Ram, Ram. 3 hours he's already going for it. Ram, 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 Ram. In some sort of prayer. Then opposite of me, there were a husband and wife. And this wife, she was serving the husband in a way like I had never seen. I had never seen any lady serve a man like that. I was amazed. I was shocked, actually. Then there were Muslims, and they were doing namaz, they were bowing down, and, you know, and then an old man came to me and said, son, everything is in God's hands. And I was thinking, am I on the right train? Is this train going to Benares? Or am I on the wrong train? Maybe this one's going to heaven. No. Everyone on that train was just God conscious. And by the time I came to Benares, it was not any different. Everywhere, people were absorbed in religious activity. It was just amazing. For weeks, I was just watching. I was just watching the people. And I lived outside on the banks of the Ganga. And every night, there would be many people. They would be collecting some fuel, some pieces of wood or something from the street, and have a little cooking pot, a little bucket, and they would cook their own meal on the street. Hundreds of people would be cooking like that. So I also started and bought a little bucket, collected some wood, and would cook like that on the street, slept on the banks of the Ganga, just near a little temple, in one little mandap, so like that. In the evening, there were couples, they would come and some priests would engage them in a ritual and they would have boats made of little boats made of leaves and flowers with a lamp and they'd offer it and then place it in the river and hundreds of such little flower boats were floating down the Ganga. And sometimes a wooden boat would come past and people were singing religious songs. Just there, in that place, for the first time in my life, I felt so inspired. Everything was centering around spirituality. Instead of money, 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 business, profit, headache, phones, calls, yes, we'll deliver the goods, yes, we'll dispatch the truck, and all these kind of things, you know. I said, no. This is what I wanted in my life. And thus, it was by the mercy of Mother Ganga. It was by the mercy
of the devotees that lived on the banks of the Ganga. It was by the mercy of the mantras that I heard on the banks of the Ganga. One mantra in particular from one temple. You know how it is when the radio plays the same tune all day long, after a while it goes in your head, right? So the local top hit there on the banks of the Ganga was Siram Deyam Deyam, Siram Deyam Deyam, Siram Deyam Deyam, Siram Deyam Deyam. So I also shouted. Got stuck in my head. And that mantra stayed with me. And I began to chant it every day. And in fact, I chanted that mantra for quite a number of years, actually before I began to chant Hare Krishna, before I came into contact with Prabhupada's movement. So by the grace of the sadhus, of the saintly personalities who have naturally lived on the banks of the holy river Ganges, I gradually came. I came to live the life of a sadhu. I came gradually to Vrindavan. And when I came to Vrindavan, then I understood. Although I didn't know much about Vrindavan, but I really understood. This place is not an ordinary place. Oh no. This place is completely spiritual. I could see it. I could sense it. Actually, I came to Mathura. And I gone by train to Mathura. And I asked local people, how far is Vrindavan? They said, not very far. I said, oh, can I walk? They said, yes, you can walk. And I walked. I walked from Mathura to Vrindavan. And I came in the evening. And on the road, there were so many cows. Some of them I came with the cows. And that way I came to the Krishna Mandir. Just at the time for the evening party. And then I stayed there until I had to leave the country and eventually went back to Europe. But it is in that way that I connected with Prabhupada's movement, and in that way I connected with different deity forms. In Vrindavan, we had Krishna Balaram, we had Radhashyama Sundar, and Goenitai. Jagannath wasn't there. But when I returned from India to my own country and moved to the temple in Amsterdam, we had Radha Krishna, we had Lord Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra, and we had Goenitai. And in that Amsterdam temple, the temple room was on the first floor, and it had a wooden floor. And every night, there were about under 20 devotees living in the temple. So every night we had huge kirtans on that wooden floor. And not only were the devotees dancing, but the deities would also be dancing, because the floor was moving like anything. So we had dancing Jagannath in Amsterdam. And actually Srila Prabhupada personally installed Lord Jagannath in Amsterdam in 1972. Gradually, Lord Jagannath came into my life, and with Lord Jagannath, Ratiyaj. Now I have performed Ratiyaj all over the world. I've performed Ratiyaj in New York with three chariots, where the police is very heavy and you can't stop. The police is just
chest. Boom, 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 boom. Don't stop. Boom, boom. Don't stop. Boom, boom. That's New York Rati Yaksha. And one year in New York Rati Yaksha, we had wireless sound system, and then the Christians, the Christian evangelics, they hacked into our sound system, and suddenly, you know, out of our sound, out of the Jagannath chariot came, Jesus is the only way. What can I say? They got us. That's tricky. They got in on our frequency and they used our sound system. So many Rati Yatras. In Calcutta, we had big Rati Yatras. We had behind the Rati part, we had a truck filled with bananas. And we just throw the bananas. And one day, at the end of the Rati Yatra, the truck was empty. And I had my last banana. And then I saw a man at the side of the road with a big stack of eggs, nicely stacked up. And I thought, let me give him the mercy. And I prayed to Lord Jagannath to empower me. And somehow or other, as if I was a professional cricket player, right? I threw that banana, and sure enough, he got the mercy right in the middle of the eggs, knocking over the whole stack. Purifying the entire world. And bananas were flying left and right. People were going bananas flying into their living room, bananas everywhere. Oh, this Rati Yatra. So much mercy. Everywhere. All over the world. Rati Yatra. More Rati Yatras. And what can I say? This was Lord Chaitanya's plan. This was the plan to change the world. This was the plan, actually. And somehow or other, I became part of it. I explained to you how. Then Rati Yatra in my hometown. Now, that's glorious. Returning from being around the world and then coming back in my own town with the mercy of Lord Jagannath. So in this way, it reaches everyone's home. Yes, for a long route, we went through the streets and people in their homes, they all got the mercy of the Lord. So how nice is this? And meanwhile, we were having fun. Right? It wasn't like, we got to give the mercy to all the people. No, it was fun. Huh? It was fun. Fun to dance, to sing, to pull the chariot. Because we knew we are getting the mercy. And meanwhile, we were giving the mercy to others. And in this way, this Jagannath Rati Yatra is an ocean of mercy. So I'm very happy that we could be here with you this evening. Of course, there are other programs tonight, so I will end now. I wanted to share my story with you, just so that you can see. And of course, my story goes much further. There's a lot more that your hearts can tell in one evening. If I would really tell you the full story of how it all happened, that Krishna came in my life, one week would not do. We would have one week every evening. Because so many amazing things happened. For one thing, the devotees, I saw these Hare Krishnas, but I thought they were kind of strange, a little too much. So I didn't really want to have anything to do with them.
But then I got a girlfriend, and she had a dog named Krishna. So my partner Prakash was a dog. And I said, Krishna sends you someone according to your life. So there's a lot more to say than what I told you, but I cannot tell you everything in one detail. But one thing I will tell you, I'll tell you the truth, because the truth is powerful. So far I didn't tell you the whole truth, but now I will tell you a little bit more about the truth. I was in the Vrindavan temple, and I was very happy. It was a spiritual world, but I also found it a little difficult because I had my attachments to people at home. Right? I was far away from home, and I had some attachment. So I was thinking about them sometimes. So I became the servant of a sannyasi, Akshayananda. He was very strict, very strict. And it was very difficult to be his servant. When the dal was not 100% hot, he would just take it away. You know? Things like this, you know. Very tough to serve him. It wasn't easy for me. And then one day I told him, I said, you know, actually, in my own country, I had a girlfriend. And sometimes I'm thinking of her and I find that a little difficult. He said, don't worry, it will go away. He said, it may take some time, it may take 10 years. And then after that I didn't hear anything, my mind just went, 10 years. I'm never going to make it 10 years. So I had my doubts at that stage. And then one day, a few days after that, I had some service in the basement, which was in the temple below the deities, and there's a door on the side. So I had to go in there, and I was just going in the door when the head pujari, who was from France, he was walking there and with his arms full of deity dresses, and the door was in his way, so he kicked it. And actually it was very hot at that time, and I had a boil from the heat on my head and some headache. And just when Pujari kicked the door, it hit my head on the boil, and I saw the entire three worlds and the planetary systems are rotating. And then the pujari said with a French accent, "You idiot, you have no brain. Can't you see that they were looking?" And the French accent can be a little sharp sometimes. So that was an intense moment. And the next morning, while all the devotees were listening to the Govindam prayers, I escaped. I went out the back door and escaped from the temple. But where to go? So I went to my old place, Benares. And when I came to Benares, I sat down in the Ganga, sort of thinking, what do I do now? And out of nowhere, a sadhu came. And he had an instrument with one string, and he began to play it, da-dang, 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 and he started to chant Hare Krishna. 45 minutes, and I just left the temple and see that Krishna didn't want me to leave. So in this way, I became a devotee by not just that it was so easy, but also with struggle, but also by mercy of Krishna and mercy of his devotees. And then somehow or other, I managed to stay. Although I was interested in spiritual life, I was not an angel. So I had to make some adjustments, and it was a struggle. But the details of that I have to save for later. But with this, I just wanted to tell you that somehow the Krishna came in my life, and today I'm sure through Rati Yatra, Krishna came in the life of many people here in Newcastle, maybe for the first time, or maybe a reminder, and for us, therefore, this Rati Yatra day is a very glorious day, a very glorious day, because it is a day where we celebrate and where that celebration floods the entire town of Newcastle in the unlimited mercy of the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much for your patience and listening to